15. Martin and Gwen were waiting. They had realized that something was up. They wanted to tell Philip and needed to tell Britt. They decided that finding Britt first was their priority and decided to start with Britt the younger, since she was the one in direct danger. They went to her home. Nick knew Gwen well and let them in, but was adamant that when Britt went out on her little head-clearing trips, she was not to be disturbed. Martin saw Philip's staff lying on the floor next to one of the chairs and asked Nick if Britt had company. Nick said,
"Yes, a gentleman named Philip."
Nick assured Gwen and Martin that Britt would be back soon and told them to have a seat while he went and got them some refreshments. Gwen and Martin had just settled into their seats when Britt and Philip returned. Britt had her legs pulled in toward her body, one hand pointing into space, the other trapping Philip's ankle under her arm. Philip had one leg, the one Britt was clinging to, stretched out and the other pulled up, with his knee to his chest as if he intended to kick Britt in the face. His back was hunched, his arms were akimbo, and in his right hand he was holding a metal pointer like he had just been giving a science lecture. They both appeared out of thin air, soaking wet and several feet off the ground. They fell to the floor with a wet thud, then lay there gasping for air. Gwen rushed to their sides to offer aid. Martin leaned forward in his chair. Once she had caught her breath, Britt leaned up on one elbow, looked at Philip, and said,
"Were you gonna kick me in the head?"
Philip shrugged and said,
"Sorry, I thought you were the squid."
Martin said,
"Well, there's gotta be a story behind that."
Gwen helped Britt to her feet. Martin watched, smirking as Philip clambered to a standing position, then wrung some of the brine out of his hat. Britt said,
"Thanks, Gwen. By the way, what are you two doing here?"
Gwen put a reassuring hand on Britt's shoulder and said,
"We need to talk. Martin and I think someone may be trying to kill you."
Philip turned to Martin and said,
"You think so, huh?"
Martin replied,
"It's a theory."
Just then, Nick rounded the corner from the kitchen, calling out,
"Okay, who's thirsty?"
When he saw Britt and Philip's condition, he nearly dropped his tray of drinks. Philip and Martin teleported back to their room so Philip could clean himself up. Britt used the time to make herself look and feel more human. 20 minutes later, they reconvened in Britt's living room to compare notes. Britt and Philip described how they had heard the same hollow popping noise when the submersible imploded that they'd heard before the two statues fell. Gwen and Martin talked about their inspection of the statue base and their belief that both statues had been brought down deliberately.
"What I don't get," Martin mused, "is why anyone would want to kill you in the first place, Britt."
Britt smiled.
"Thanks, Martin. I appreciate that."
"I mean," Martin continued, "Britt the Elder being here proves that you survived to be her, so any attempt to kill you is doomed to failure. Am I right?"
Britt looked long and hard at Martin, then said,
"Is that the only reason you can think of not to kill me?"
Philip quickly added,
"Besides, it's not really true."
He went on to give Gwen and Martin a quick synopsis of his idea regarding Britt the Elder's existence and Britt the Younger's killability. Martin thought for a moment, then asked,
"Is killability even a word?"
Philip said,
"If I use it, and you know what it means, it is a word. Also, it's fun to say, killability, killability. It rolls nicely."
"I don't know," Martin continued. "It's not very elegant."
"The word is killability. Who cares?"
"No, not the word. Well, not just the word. Your idea, too. It's inelegant."
"Reality is inelegant,"
Philip huffed.
"No," Martin said definitively. "Reality is stunningly elegant. Our understanding of it is not."
"Martin, we're not going to have this argument again."
"We never have this argument. Every time we start to, you get mad and start shouting."
Philip's face began to turn red.
"You're right. I shouldn't have said we're not going to have this argument again. I should have said, again, we are not going to have this argument. Maybe you'd think that was more elegant."
Britt turned to Gwen and said,
"I can see why you enjoyed hanging around with these guys. It's entertaining in its way."
"Yes,"
Gwen agreed.
But as usual, it isn't really getting us anywhere. Guys, arguments about Brit's killability... Oh, that is fun.
Philip smiled and said, I knew, right? Brit did not smile. Gwen continued.
Maybe Brit can be killed. Maybe she can't. Either way, Philip can be killed, and he nearly was. Whoever it is who's trying to take Brit out could easily kill someone else in the process. We have to stop them, and that means figuring out who it is.
Brit said,
We know it's someone with powers. Gunpowder won't be invented until hundreds of years from now, and even if it were, it would take a heap of the stuff to bring down one of those statues, let alone to put a hole in my diamond sphere. Agreed,
Gwen said.
Of course, this would happen during the one time that we have magic users from all over the world visiting. That won't make it easier to narrow things down.
Who has the most to gain? Martin asked. Brit, if you were out of the picture, who'd benefit most?
Nobody,
Brit said.
I'm completely unimportant.
Gwen said,
Brit, that's not true.
Brit waved her off.
Yes, it is. Brit the Elder has all of the power. I get it. She's the one who's done everything. I'm just the one who's going to do everything. And in the end, what's that worth?
Really, I'm only in the Council of Three to break ties.
But you are on the Council, Martin said. Maybe someone wants you off. Maybe they want you and Brit the Elder both off of the Council, and they think that if they kill you, it'll take her out too. Two birds with one stone.
Philip said, Martin, there are only two options. Either their fates are tied together, or they aren't. If they are and someone kills Brit here, then she never goes on to build Atlantis. None of this ever happens, and whoever it is who thinks they're going to gain something most likely loses everything. If, on the other hand, their fates aren't joined, then whoever kills Brit will find that the only change they've created is that the most powerful woman in Atlantis is furious at them for killing her younger self and giving her an identity crisis. Either way, it's a stupid plan.
Martin shrugged.
Then maybe the murderer is stupid.
Attempted murderer,
Brit corrected.
They haven't succeeded at anything yet.
Which proves my point,
Martin said. Gwen said,
Martin, you said we should look at the person who has the most to gain. Well, that's Ida, the president. With both Brits gone, she'd be the only council member left. But she's not stupid.
Are you sure?
Martin asked. Both Gwen and Brit nodded.
We both voted for Ida. We wouldn't vote for someone we thought might be stupid.
Martin accepted this, and the room fell into a sullen silence. Eventually, Gwen said,
Whoever it is, either they'll give up, which is good, or they'll try again, and that'll be a chance to catch them. Either way, I think the logical next step is to go tell Brit the Elder what's going on.
Why?
Brit asked.
Shouldn't she already know? Having someone try to kill you is pretty memorable. You'd think she'd recall who did it, how many more times they'll try, and how they're stopped.
Philip said,
Gwen's right, and so are you. Either she doesn't know and we need to tell her, or she does know and we need to ask her what happens next.
No,
Brit said flatly.
I don't want her to have the satisfaction of knowing that I came to her for help.
Martin asked,
And if you don't... You're okay with having her remembering that you risked your life rather than ask her for help?
Yes,
Brit said.
I'm fine with that, because that gives me satisfaction.
Gwen said,
Brit, if your life might be in danger and we knew about it, wouldn't you want us to tell you?
You know it,
Brit said. Gwen said,
And that's why we have to tell her, because she is you.
Gwen tried not to look triumphant as she said it. Brit replied,
Then you've warned her just now when you told me.
Brit made a deliberate effort to look triumphant as she said it. She looked at the faces of the other three people. She could tell she had lost the argument, but that didn't mean she had to act defeated.
Fine,
she said.
We'll warn her, but it's not going to be me who does it. One of you three are going to have to deal with her. Who's it going to be?
While Gwen, Philip, and Martin all agreed that Brit the Elder needed to be warned, None of them were particularly eager to volunteer to do it in front of Britt the Younger. She clearly had issues with Britt the Elder, and might take them out on anyone who seemed to be elder-friendly. Gwen was her friend and didn't want to seem disloyal. Philip was beginning to harbor hopes of becoming something more than her friend, and especially didn't want to seem disloyal. Martin had a lifelong aversion to offending angry women. The three of them stared at each other, mute with indecision, until, mercifully, the doorbell rang. Nick speed-walked across the room, saying,
"Don't get up, I'll get that. You keep having your very serious discussion that I was definitely not listening to."
Nick opened the door. Outside, there were two guards. One, Martin had not met, was wearing the normal guard kilt and net shirt. The other, Ampix, was also wearing an apparently homemade pointy wizard hat. When Ampix noticed that Gwen was there, he winked and flicked his eyes upward to call her attention to the hat. The other guard said,
"We have been sent to collect the guest of Atlantis called Philip."
Britt the Younger rose to her feet and asked,
"Why? What for?"
The guard stated,
"He is to meet with Britt the Elder."
Britt the Younger glared at Philip, who looked uneasily back at her. Martin smiled broadly and said,
"Say, that's convenient."
Ampix studied Martin, filing this away for later.